Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Haas over here jamming it with Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro East Side.
All right, very festive
today.
Always
love that song.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Always a fun time of year.
Yeah.
Got
just always that jam that gets me going. It's our bumper music. They always, that. I don't know why. That song just does it for me. I don't know. But anyway. So speaking of things that do it for me, though.
Yeah.
During the break.
Yeah.
We asked Cassandra, what is kind of a typical cost range for a cleanup? Because, you know, I was saying my client seems to have gotten off pretty lucky, and this is $60,000 of coverage that someone can go to plia.wa.gov to get. What did you tell us?
So our average cleanup cost is generally about $30,000.
Go sign up, people.
Yikes.
If you have an oil tank, go sign up.
Okay, so here's our choice. You could have literally $30,000 worth of pain and suffering mm-hmm. buried in your yard.
Not covered by your regular
right.
homeowner's
and
insurance.
All you have to do is go to plia.wa.gov and mm-hmm. register, and
yeah.
you've got $60,000 worth of coverage.
And it's a really short, easy form to fill
nothing.
Out.
Yeah, I
oh
have.
My gosh.
You know, so this is, you'll laugh, Cassandra, because I got a copy of that form 13 years ago before we had as much stuff online as we do today, and it still sits above my desk today, tattered as it is, because I keep it
handy.
I'll
have to send you a new one.
I keep it there as my reminder of like, oh, there's the PLIA form. Okay, I know exactly because of the tattering in the corner of like, that's it, because I've pulled it out so many times to show somebody. So we use it as a training tool in my office all the time.
Absolutely. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, this is so good to know. And mm-hmm. and so, Bob, let's talk a little bit about the cleanup. As a homeowner, is this
yeah.
something I could do myself?
Well, I think if you have
he's
both
cringing.
I love it.
Yeah.
He prepares.
Physically
he had to
back
adjust
away from
in his
me.
Chair.
Like, I don't know.
Like, well, let me.
Yeah. I think if a homeowner has those skills and abilities, understanding of state cleanup regulations, I think that's a possibility. I think very few homeowners have that, and I think they should.
I know
should.
I don't have
right.
the skill to do it. And my husband's talented, but I would not
sure.
let him handle it.
Yeah, so they really should seek out support and okay. find assistance in doing that. And again, our site managers would certainly answer their questions if they call. Michael Warfare or Donna Musa takes calls every day and
okay.
assists with those questions. And PLIA, of course. I keep saying that. But
yeah.
But PLIA has some good staff also and a good program.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier that you have the technical assistance. So I guess if a homeowner did want to try and take it on, they could. But it's also useful when someone's trying to assess who they might hire to help, right?
So, I mean, we can't recommend anyone or tell them who to hire, but we
you
can
could
certainly
tell
them.
You could
them,
smell the BS
here are
if
some,
somebody
here
came
are some
in
questions.
With a,
here are some questions to ask. This
yeah.
is, you know, like the upfront testing, that's critical.
Mm-hmm.
If they're, you know, not going to test the soil at the beginning, that's probably a red flag. If
mm-hmm.
they're just going to start digging without doing any sampling, that, you know, if it's the odd case where it's only $5,000, you can just start digging and
right.
find the end of it and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something larger, you really want to get somebody that knows how to test around there, somebody that's familiar with the cleanup regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, at the end, you want to get to that place where we can write you that letter that says you've met all the requirements, and you don't want somebody to get all the way to the end
mm-hmm.
and then submit your report to us and then have us say, well, actually, you forgot to
not
do
so much.
This or that or
right.
the other thing.
Okay. So going back to disclosure. So if you guys are providing these documents or someone's giving that saying, yes, it's been done properly, that's probably really key for that homeowner to have and then also be able to pass on
absolutely
in a next sale, right?
Yeah. And we know that bankers often ask
mm-hmm.
for those letters
oh,
to,
yeah. absolutely
to show proof that the cleanup has occurred and,
mm-hmm.
and buyers
I've seen
ask
appraisers
for
call it out because if they
yeah.
see those vent pipes and it didn't show up anywhere else, they'll sometimes ask for that decommissioning report and sometimes people go, oh,
yeah. So
I don't
ours
have it.
And our letter is slightly different than the, so. There's the decommissioning report,
mm-hmm.
and then the letter is the I guess the jargony term for it is a no further action letter.
Right.
And what
and
that
that's
means
what
is no further action needs to
yeah,
be taken.
That's exactly what we got when
exactly.
we had our Bellevue deal. So let me ask you though, if Does that need to go on in perpetuity? Because, I mean, imagine 100 years from now. Does someone need to be – is there a plan maybe even to put some of these things in a digital format where they could be recorded against a property and maybe it sits on a title?
So there are, you know, there's different – we talked in the break a little bit about different cleanup mm-hmm. methods. And, there, you know, there are some methods that involve potentially leaving some contamination in place, mm-hmm. which is allowed.
Yeah, I was going to say,
if you follow all the directions. And in those cases, there is something that gets attached to the title just as a marker to say this is here, but the state reviewed it and we don't believe that it's a threat.
Do you think it would be a good idea, though, for them to, if it gets decommissioned? Because, I mean, seriously, the fire marshal, you know, what
there
if something
should be
happens
a record
to their
if
records?
If it's taken care of, I would sure think so.
We always tell people to, you know, to keep that record. We have the records, you know, in our office, any letter that
I guess
we've
I just
sent,
always look at it like there's easements and other things, but I just, if there's a digital format, because it's one of the biggest struggles in my industry is there's so many pieces of information about a property that can be spread among a lot of different parties. And I know we struggle with this all the time of like, why isn't that just recorded against the title so we don't have to go track it down? Like if you had to do it to begin with, why can't we just make it part of the official record and it's just there with the house instead of chasing it down in five different places, right? Because if a homeowner has the house burn at some point and they've lost their records, and if that was the only copy, well, we're kind of hosed from the future, right? But that digital record.
Well, we'll have
record,
a copy at our office.
Well, hopefully you will, and someone will have to know to go get that. But I go back to my point of I've got 200
Absolutely.
New agents a month who may or may not know to go do that.
Yep.
You know, and then who's going to be the one at risk if someone didn't get that information or someone found out later on that there was an issue and, you know, now we've got everything full of all kinds of problems. So, because, I mean, that's the thing I know that as real estate agents, we have to deal with holding our records for a certain year's worth of time because of potentials for lawsuit.
Yep.
So I'm always a big fan of keeping my own personal liability down while still trying to advocate and keep the liability down for my client. But if there's all these moving parts and somebody else has a document that we couldn't possibly have known existed.
Yeah. Well,
who wants that?
Well, you're absolutely right. And your comment, Reba, about, you know, so many new agents coming into the market as a consumer, this is the reason we have guests like both of, you know, Bob and Cassandra, you on the show is because we really do want to bring forward some of these issues. And if your agent isn't bringing these things up, I hope you're listening and paying attention to it. I'm cracking up because we had a purchase contract come into the office today.
Yeah.
And it was done by a rookie new agent under the legal description, which the legal description on a property is the legal definition of it. It gives the recording numbers. It gives exactly legally where it's at. Mm-hmm. This legal description said 3-bedroom, 1-bath house, 1,000 square feet.
Oh my gosh, it was a property description?
And it was blue. They gave a description of the property.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Oh.
And I'm like, oh, good heavens.
That designated broker needs to be slapped around,
really, really
too.
Scary,
oh my
but,
gosh. Okay. Well, as...
Speaking of
education. Yes. Oh, you just read my mind. Yes.
Yeah. We have class
before I had
up.
My look of disgust on that last comment. Yes, we have a class coming up. We have our own edumacation.
That's right.
Happening.
And this is the official first-time home buyer class, which is a state-sanctioned class. Mm-hmm. Both Reba and I volunteer for the Washington State Housing Finance Commission. Mm-hmm. And taking this class, it's a 5-hour class. It's free of charge. Mm-hmm. And once you take this class, you become eligible for special financing programs, first-time buyer programs, zero-down programs,
tax
as well
credit
as special
programs.
Tax credits.
Yes.
Yeah. So
tax season's coming up.
That's right. And when is this class, Reba?
It's January 7th.
Yeah.
January 7th, 2017. Got a lot of ones and sevens going
on there.
It's
going to run from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in Seattle. So we're going to hold it at our Remax Metro location, which is 2312 Eastlake Avenue East in Seattle.
Right down there in beautiful Eastlake neighborhood.
Yes.
So put that on your calendars if you're a first-time buyer, January 7th.
And we want to thank our guests.
Bob and Cassandra, thank you so much for joining us. I learned a lot about oil tanks today. Hope our listeners did as well. Stay tuned next week, every Tuesday, 3 o'clock, more Real Estate and Finance on Open House with Team Reba. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Open House with Team Reba. To contact us, visit Team Reba at re/Max Metro Eastside on Facebook or email info@teamreba.com. Join us again next Tuesday at 3 for more Open House with Team Reba here on Business Radio 1300 KKOL. Program sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro East Side and Eric Osnes of Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.